Welcome to Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag NowChurch. Thank you, and enjoy today's service.
Glad that you're here today. We're continuing our series called Movember, but this week we've switched it a little bit. You might see that it's not just M-O for momentum stenia, but in Movember, there's also move. Movember. Movember. So that's what we're focusing today. I call the message today, playing with fire. Playing with fire is important. Let's go to Acts chapter 28, verse 1 from the Message Bible. This is a powerful moment when Paul the Apostle had been in a shipwreck and they find themselves landing on a deserted island, and he couldn't find dessert anywhere. But anyway, once everyone was accounted for and we realized we had all made it, we learned that we were on the island of Malta. The natives went out of their way to be friendly to us. The day was rainy and cold, and we were already soaked to the bone, but they built a huge bonfire. Speaking of bonfire on the screen, they built a huge bonfire, gathered us around it. Paul pitched in and helped. He gathered up a bundle of sticks, but when he put it on the fire, a venomous snake, roused from its torpor by the heat, struck his hand and held on. Seeing the snake hanging from Paul's hand like that, the natives jumped to the conclusion he was a murderer getting his just desserts. Well, there's his desserts right there. But Paul shook the snake off into the fire, none the worse for wear. Talk about that today a little bit. 2 Timothy chapter 1, I want to weave in from 2 Timothy 1:5 from the Amplified Bible says, Paul says, I'm calling up the memories of your sincere and unqualified faith, the leaning of your entire personality on God in Christ, in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. A faith that first lived permanently in the heart of your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am fully persuaded dwells in you also. That is why I remind you to stir up, rekindle the embers of, fan the flame of, and keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in you by means of the laying on of my hands. Let's pray one more time. God, would you open the eyes of our heart today? Holy Spirit, come and move in this place and through this place on behalf of everyone that's watching, connecting through the stream today. God, come and move in that fresh anointing, that fresh fire that we all need. Come and let your fire burn in us afresh today. In Jesus' name, amen. And everyone said, amen. Well, that's better. Okay. We're talking about the art of spiritual momentum. Last week we said everything you've been through in your life has been redeemed and turned into something to fuel your next season of momentum. That's what it's about. I want to give you a new definition of momentum. I love words. I love definitions and things. And I found this in some things that I've looked at before. Momentum is an unexplainable spiritual force that causes your adrenaline to catapult your whole being into high gear, total faith and abandon, resulting in victory. Amen. Leave that up for a second. Momentum is an unexplainable spiritual force that causes your adrenaline to catapult your whole being into high gear, total faith and abandon, resulting in victory. If you've got the momentum, you have a guaranteed victory regardless. You're getting closer to the victory. Momentum is strength and motion. And that's what we're talking about, movement today. Momentum is more powerful than ability alone. It can drive a pine needle through a tree in a tornado. Think about that. Momentum can drive a pine needle, think about how thin that is, through a pine tree in a tornado because of the velocity and the force. It defies logic. A rolling snowball down a mountain can start out just tiny, but can become an avalanche, become something huge that takes out a whole problem, a whole thing, situation in the valley. Build up capacity, speed, pace, endurance, and strength are words that go with momentum. Now, As we talk about today, I want to talk about it's time to move forward again. And I want to say this as a prophetic word to many of you. Many of you get in a situation where back in the day, we used to have something called record players. And and only the group that was with me the other night knows what that is. But anyway, we used to have record players, and you could get in a situation where if there was dust or if there's a scratch on your record, your needle would get stuck and would keep playing the same thing over and over, and it would drive you crazy, and you had to get up and fix it and push it to a different place. And I think some of you, your needle is stuck. Some of you keep going around the same issue, the same mountain, the same argument, the same thing, the same mental bombardment over and over again. And the issue is it's time to move ember. It's time to move forward again. The real question is how, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Spiritual momentum must be ignited. It must be ignited. It's like building a fire. You don't just go, fire, there it is. You don't just go fire. You have to gather the fuel. You have to find something to kindle it that burns easily. You have to provide a spark, and then you have to fan the flame. It needs all those elements to build a fire. Paul the Apostle reminded young Pastor Timothy that he'd been given many resources in his life. Even his mother and his grandmother had a burning faith inside of them that, remember, Christianity was brand new in the time of the Apostle Paul as he's writing the two-thirds of the New Testament. It is a brand new thing. This is, when he says this is generations old, he's not talking about hundreds of years. He's talking about your grandmother and your mother are here, and now you're here. You're a young adult. You're a young man, and they're here, and they got the fire, and you need the fire. This was something that was sparked. And I say it this way, batons are often passed as generational blessings. There are spiritual fires that are handed down many times in the faith from generation to generation, but you have to take it up. Not to do it the same way grandma did, but to carry that inner fire, to get something in your spirit, to get something that's strong on the inside of you that burns up all the other stuff going on. Now listen, not every believer has a Christian heritage or background, but whether you know who they were or not, somebody prayed for you. If you're in the kingdom, somebody prayed for you at some time. Maybe they didn't know they were praying for you, maybe they're just praying in the spirit. But somebody prayed for you, and when I say prayed for you, or I'll say this way, maybe somebody's praying for you now. Maybe that's why you keep having this desire to go after God, to look for God, to get back to church, to find something in the Bible that is meaningful to you. And I don't mean when I say they pray for you, I don't mean just folding their hands and praying little nice prayers. Now I lay me down to sleep. No, I'm talking about, I believe someone has been crying out to God for your life. Someone's been crying out to God for your life. And you may know, you may not know. Someone has been binding the devil off of you, praying for God's mercy and praying for God's grace on your behalf. And how do I know? Because we all need that. We all need that. We all need that. And many of you know somebody who did that. I know I've told the story many times before about my Aunt Marilyn. I called her Auntie Marilyn because she was dramatic. And Auntie Marilyn, she was the first one in our family that got radically transformed. I mean, I'm talking about filled with the Holy Spirit back in the charismatic renewal days. And up in southern New Jersey where she lived, there wasn't a really good, strong, spirit-filled church even that time. So she'd go to a little Methodist church on Sunday morning, but she'd pray with a little charismatic Catholic group on Friday nights. And these little old ladies, they knew how to pray. They'd pray heaven down. How do I know that? Because as a teenager, you know, the Bible says sin is fun for a season. That's what it says. But it wasn't for me. I mean, it was fun for a minute, but it wasn't fun for a season because my aunt had these ladies praying for me every Friday night of my teenage life. And every Friday night of my teenage life, I was going like, Oh my, we're being followed by the FBI. The cops are after us. Watch out. I mean, my friends almost call me paranoid parent chief because I was always imagining we'd be doing something wrong, but we'd be 5 miles in the middle of nowhere and I'd hear a helicopter. And I'd be like, what is going on? They'd just sit down, calm down. I didn't know it was the Holy Spirit that was after me. I didn't realize it. I had all this stuff going on. And my Aunt Marilyn, she prayed heaven down and she prayed the devil off. And she was in tune. She was my favorite aunt. And she did things. By the time I was about 9 or 10 years old, like when we go see her up there, she said, I want time with you. I want to take you to a Christian bookstore. And I thought, oh, here we go again. She'd take me to a Christian bookstore called Ebenezer's up in southern New Jersey, and she'd say, pick out anything you want. I'd be like, let's see. Do I want a little compass that says Jesus saves, or do I want a little trinket that says Jesus saves? I was like, you don't get me at all. I don't want anything from here. But she would plant the seed. And then she did something else, because up there was a place that used to be called Copper Kettle Fudge on Ocean City Boardwalk, southern New Jersey, and that's where we'd go every summer, and we'd get this fudge. And I would save my money up to get this fudge. Well, my Aunt Marilyn figured out how much I liked that, and she said, okay, here's what I want you to do. Every time you memorize a chapter, a whole chapter of Scripture, I'm going to send you a one-pound box of Copper Kettle Fudge. Now, there's some short psalms. There's some short psalms. I'll just tell you right now. I found some of the shortest psalms. I was looking to see what she'd send me for a small scripture like Jesus wept. But she never sent me anything for that. But she found a way to... Listen, the Bible says God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Some of you are fishers of men, but you're lousy at it. Because you use the wrong bait. The stuff at the Christian bookstore didn't do it for me. I got some trinkets, but Copper Kettle Fudge? You see, in order to have momentum, you got to have motivation. There's a word right there. It's not in my notes. Just say that right there. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe two things. Number one, that he is God. Number two, that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. When I started to taste and see that the Lord was good, I memorized, I don't know, over a couple of years, I memorized probably 6, 7, 8 chapters of Scripture. It didn't do anything for me till I got saved. But when I got saved, suddenly those words kept reverberating in my spirit. So Auntie Marilyn would pray for me. She'd stay in tune with me. She would reward me. But then I told a story before about my 13th, 14th birthday. My friends down the road, they got a Ouija board. I said, for my birthday, I want a Ouija board. I thought it was a game. I didn't know it was for those of you who know, I mean, you're pursuing something from demons, from demonic spirits. You're looking for familiar spirits. And so I was like, innocently said to my mom and dad, I want a Ouija board. They said, okay. So they got a Ouija board. It was Milton Bradley or something. And I thought it was a game. Well, my birthday is around Easter. It's in April. And so that year, we had my birthday. I got my present. But if you know anything about Ouija boards, you have to have more than one person. You can't play it by yourself. You have to have somebody else play. I couldn't find anybody to play with me. And then the next week was Easter. My Aunt Marilyn was a teacher, so she came down on her spring break. She arrived down, and she saw that Ouija board, and she said, what's that? I said, that's a Ouija board. She said, yeah, I know what it is. She said, I'll buy it from you. I said, buy it from me? Probably about an $8 game back in that day, maybe $5, I don't know. She said, I'll give you $30 for it if you promise you'll never touch one again. I said, for $30, I'll throw it in my sister. $30, that's a no-brainer. So I had a Ouija board for a week and never got to touch the dang thing. Why? Because she's praying for me, and then she's discerning, and then she's rewarding me, and she's teaching me. And when I got saved, and I got radically saved, when I first felt the call to ministry, she was one of the first people that I let know that I was called to ministry, and she already knew it. Like, she was the only one in the family, she wasn't surprised. Everybody else was like slain in the spirit. She was like, yeah, I knew. Why? Because she'd been praying. Maybe you didn't have Auntie Marilyn, but you have somebody. If you're saved, if you're in the kingdom, and the stronger you're getting, somebody's got the fire, and somebody's praying that fire into your spirit. Even when you've been hard, stiff-necked, hard-hearted, brain-dead, upset, filled with sin, trying to run your own way, you can't get away from the Holy Spirit, can you? You know why you can't get away from the Holy Spirit? Because somebody's praying for you. And listen, prayers, my wife taught me this, prayers don't go away. Once they're prayed, they're still reverberating and still working. They don't go away. Like, Auntie Marilyn's been gone for many years. Auntie Marilyn got killed by a drunk driver the night before we had a big youth event when we were first in youth ministry. And she was taken out by a drunk driver and broke my heart. But you know what? With all that stuff going on, her prayers are still working in heaven. They're still moving forward. They're still going on. I honor her by just continuing on and moving forward. Somebody's been praying for mercy and grace on your behalf. Let me remind you what mercy and grace is, just so you remember. Mercy is about not getting what you deserve. Okay? Why? Because we all deserve punishment. We all deserve hell. Why? Because nobody's perfect. And that's God's standard. God's standard is perfection. Because he's righteous. But nobody has that without mercy. Mercy is about not getting what you do deserve. Punishment for sin. Grace is about getting what you don't deserve. It's all of Christ's benefits that you don't deserve. Yes, so mercy takes care of the minus, and grace provides the plus. That's why Jesus went to the cross. He turned the minus into a plus. He took all of our sin and our punishment. 2 Timothy 1:6, as I read to you this morning, says, Paul said to Timothy, that's why I remind you to stir up, rekindle the embers of, fan the flame of, keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that's in you, through the laying on of hands. Listen, if you want momentum, you have to move embers. You have to move embers. You have to stir up the fire. You have to stir yourself up sometimes. You can't just go through and just become another religious, sanctimonious, sit-on-your-butt Christian. Listen, the reason why we don't have pews in here, we have chairs, because they call them pew, because people just sit in them too long. Three of you got that joke. Anyways, well. We don't have a bench for you to rest on. We have a folding chair that implies you're going to get up and get moving forward because your mission field is out there. This is where you stir up. This is part of the stir up, but you got to stir yourself up at home too. Stir yourself up in the car. Stir yourself up on the way to work. And then go be the light. Go take the fire. Don't beat people over the head with your Bible, but let them see that you're aflame. Let them see that you're on fire. Move embers. Every fire starts with some kind of small spark. Every action or flow of the Holy Spirit begins with one word from God. Everything God does, remember, begins with a word. One word, one phrase, one scripture, one thought. Every action or flow of the Holy Spirit begins with one word from God. A word from His Word, the Bible. One of the first treasured moments of faith is when you're reading the Bible after you've truly surrendered your heart to Jesus, when suddenly a scripture hits your newly created spirit. Instead of reading the Bible and going, I don't understand anything. I don't get it, Pastor. I don't know what that means. I read the Bible all the time. I don't know nothing. But you get born again. Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Hopefully you become filled with the Holy Spirit, immersed, baptized in the Spirit. And when you do, the Bible says that the Scriptures are the things that God uses to speak to you. To speak to you, to say something. A rhema word, pardon me, a rhema word is a life-giving word that lifts off the page or lifts off the device and hits you in here. You've got to read until you get that, we call it the aha word. You got to read until you get that word. Don't tell me you don't understand the Bible. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. He wrote it. And he'll give you understanding. But you got to, that's part of prayer and the word together. You've got to ask him, Lord, I don't understand it sometimes. Help me understand it. When it hits your spirit. We talked a few weeks ago about not being able to catch your breath, right? When you're desperate for a breath of air, you've got to be that desperate for a word from God. Because when you're that, when you esteem the word of God that strongly, he will reveal himself to you through that word. It will lift. It will lift off the page. It will hit your spirit. Rhema. A rhema word. We talk about it. Bible clarity. It's when you get understanding. It's when the Spirit of God speaks directly to your inner man, your spirit man, as if it lifts off the page and hits you in the chest. The creator of all the universe. Connecting with his creation. I love Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9. Jeremiah said, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak of God anymore, or speak anymore in God's name, but his word. Listen, everybody say his word. His word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not hold it back. My friends, you can't hold back God's word. You can't hold back God's spoken word, his rhema word. His word is alive. His word is alive, and his word strengthens. His word empowers. If you're a weak Christian and a powerless Christian, then you better get your word life up. You better get your prayer life and your word life up, because word life plus prayer life equals real life. That's the level of your life. If you pray wimpy prayers and you just read some little 10-cent devotional, and I'm not talking about good stuff online, I'm talking about stuff just, you know, I used to read stuff when I was a kid in a religious church, and it was very little scripture, but it was a whole explanation of stuff, but it was one little scripture, but then it was this whole thing, and it was built on sinking sand. I need the word of God. I need to build my life on Jesus, the rock of my salvation. I need that word to burn inside of me, and I want it to burn inside of you too. His word, Jeremiah said, it was like a fire. It was like shut up in my bones. It's right, his word. Another quick story about my auntie Marilyn. When I was in high school then, for my senior class play, I was in drama and all that stuff, and she came down for my senior class play, and I got, we did Godspell, which was, I thought it was ridiculous. I thought, why are you doing this in public schools? We're doing this play about Jesus, and I don't understand. And my drama director, she wasn't a Christian. She goes, oh, well, it's big on Broadway now. Oh, okay. So I try out for this play, and I'm going for the lead, right? I want to be Jesus. And then they call me in. They said, sorry, you didn't get you got the second lead. I said, well, what's the second lead? They said, you're going to be John the Baptist. I'm like, oh, gee. Roll my eyes. Going to be John the Baptist. How many know God has a sense of humor? He was setting me up. So now I'm in my class play, not a Christian yet. Every line of John the Baptist in Godspell is scriptures. Every line. I had to memorize, like, I bet it was probably half of the book of Matthew is in Godspell. And I had to start off the whole program standing in the back of the room singing, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." And then I run up from the back and run to the front, jump on the stage, and then everything kicks and everything started. That play changed my life. That play changed my life. So 1 year later when I got saved, all that scripture from eating that fudge and all that scripture from being in the drama program at high school was in me. And suddenly when I was in relationship with Jesus, this stuff, it made sense. Like I had an application for it. It wasn't just words. It was truth. And it was life-changing. The Word of God. My friends, it's the Word of God that energizes. That's what the Bible says about itself. The Word ignites everything else. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is living and powerful. And that word of God is not just the spoken word, it's the Bible itself. It's the book itself. Not the print and the ink and the leather, but the Bible, the words from the Word. The Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. And of joints and marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It exposes your motives. It exposes your why. I like it from the Amplified Bible. For the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. That's how strong the Bible is. That's how strong the Word of God is. The Bible says that the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. You say, Pastor, did you get upset during COVID? Yeah, I got upset, but I didn't get scared. You know why? Because the word of God, I knew the church would arise. I knew the church would move forward. I knew the body of Christ would go. I knew the word of God was still working. And I was trusting in that word to keep everything moving forward at the appropriate time. Even for the months we felt stuck in neutral, God came through. Look at this world today. Look what's happening now. We're rebounding. We're moving forward. Why? Because the word of God is still alive, and that's the governing force. God wants you to have spiritual momentum moving you forward. Get moving. Get your fire back at all costs. Stir up what's left. If you've lost everything and all you have is ashes, stir up the ashes because there may be a little bit of a spark still in there. And then give it some fuel and see what God will do. In our text from Acts 28, Paul and his team survived a shipwreck. Castaways on Malta, cold and hungry. And what they needed was to warm up. They needed fresh fire. Like many of God's people today, there are moments of shipwreck, topsy-turvy chaos in our lives where we've hit the rocks or rock bottom, trying to become the captain of our own ships. We're in negative momentum. We're going down. But people helped out. The Bible says the people helped out there on Malta. They saw Paul. They saw them cold and wet. They started to build a fire. But Paul knew how to build a fire. He went and gathered some fuel. He gathered some sticks to start some new momentum and laid them right there at the worst possible moment. I mean, at this point, this guy is, you know, he is such a castaway. He's talking to a volleyball. You know what I'm saying? He is, come on, Jesus. Does anybody ever go to the movies here? Wilson. There you go, Wilson. There you go. See, the reality is, Paul, they're right there with nothing left. They just had a shipwreck, cold and wet, but they got a fire. And Paul himself was there. I'm going to build this fire. He went out and started fueling that fire. The people helped out. He gathered some fuel, sticks to start the new momentum. But as he laid him on the fire, snake bite, venom. And the Bible says this, it's very clear in the scripture. The Bible says, because of the heat, the snake manifests because of the heat. Snakes react to the heat of the fire. If you say, well, I don't know why I'm under attack. I was just leaning into God and Caesar getting real excited, and now we get hit with something. Just a snake bite. It's just a snake bite. Get ready to do what God says to do with it. Not only did it bite his hand, but the Bible says it dug in and attached itself to his hand. He had this snake hanging from his hand. You know, hands in the Bible always speak of your work. The work, God says, I'll bless the work of your hands. Maybe your work life has been under attack. Maybe your finances have been under attack. Many times that tries to happen right when you're doing the right thing. And you're saying, God, I want you to be first. I want to surrender to you. I want to give you everything. I understand that. I want you in my life. But because of the heat, that snake manifests in the fire. And in that culture of that day in Malta, that community was, they thought that bad things only happen to bad people. So the enemy started going, oh, he must be a killer. He's going to fall over dead about 10, watch this guy. He's going to fall over in about 10 seconds. He must be a bad dude. He's getting his punishment. This is a judgment of God. No, it's not. It's an attack from the pit of hell. They expected him to die. What happened? Paul did what mature believers have been doing for thousands of years. Shake off that snake. Shake off that snake. In the words of Taylor Swift, shake it off. Shake it off. Shake that thing off. He shook it off back into the fire and burned that thing up. Evil words, offended hearts, false accusations, they come. But you got to shake them off. You got to forgive the people that wronged you, but fight in the spirit realm with your mighty weapons. It is written, Jesus said when responding to the snake in his wilderness. It is written, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. It is written, it is written, it is written. The word, the blood, the name of Jesus. You take those weapons that you have. Paul took the momentum back and won a tremendous victory. Even though he had that thing on attached to him, he shook it off in the fire, and then he didn't die. Part of your testimony is just survival. Sometimes people are looking for you to be taken down for the count. And when you just made it through and survived and didn't drop over dead, they're going like, oh, God must be real. I thought he's going to go for sure this time. God must be real. You don't know what's going to speak to somebody else's heart. I'll finish with this. Don't let the poison get into your bloodstream. Shake it off before it gets to chew on you. Put a tourniquet on in Jesus' name. Get something to stop the blood flow. Listen, public opinion on Paul turned on a dime. The people went from thinking Paul was a demon to exalting him as a god. And he stopped that right in its tracks too. He accepted the hospitality of the mayor, the Bible says. It goes on in the rest of that chapter. He accepted the hospitality of the mayor of Malta, prayed for his sick father. His sick father got healed. Paul ended up staying there 3 months because revival hit. And everybody was getting saved and healed. Read the scripture. It's powerful what happens. He turned that moment that looked like certain death into a breakthrough for others. What's our takeaway today? Build your inner fire. Fill up with the word. Shake off every attack of the enemy. You want to get some momentum going? Start where you are. Light a match. Start where you are. Get a spark. Start where you are. And let's move some embers. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your promises, for your word today. And I pray that you would stir up the gift in every person that's hearing the sound of my voice today, whether in the room or watching online. I speak over you and I say to you by the word of the Lord, by the will of God, it's time to stir up the gift of God that's in you. It's time to stir it up. Stir up the gift of God. Fan into flame the embers that are left. I don't know where you are right now, but I know some of you have had, you've been through times where you've had the fire of God. You've been excited for Jesus. You couldn't wait to tell people about him. And then life happened, and now you're just quiet, and you're silent, and you just kind of just move through your day, and you're just a religious dud. It's time to stir up that fire again. It's time to stir up those embers. It's time to accept your purpose and your calling and your destiny, whether you're in the room, whether you're at home. It's time for you to accept what God has said and what He has done for your life. Somebody's praying for you. If nobody else is, we're praying for you. You're here today. We've been praying for you. If you found your way to this church, it's not by an accident. It's by divine purpose. We've been praying for cars driving by. We've been in this building like 28 years. We've been praying as cars drive by that they turn and see something, sense something of the goodness of God, the grace of God, the drawing power of the Lord. The Bible, Jesus said, He said, if I am lifted up, I will draw all people unto me. Some of you say, I don't know why I came. Somebody's praying for you. If nobody else, we've been praying for you. But now it's time to accept what Jesus has done and start praying for yourself. Believe God for yourself. Get into His Word for yourself. Accept all that He's done. If you don't know Him, you can know Him right now. If you don't know Him in a real way, I'm not talking about head knowledge, I'm talking about experiential introduction. Let me introduce you to my friend Jesus, my Savior and my Lord. And as we introduce you, you have to say, "Hi, Jesus. I want to know you." Doesn't have to be some big formal religious prayer. It just has to be real out of your heart. Yes. Come into my life. God, I want to know you. I don't want to just know about you. I want to know you for myself. I want to know your word. I want to know what you think, what you feel. I want to know what your take is on this world and what's going on in the world. I want to know you in a personal, in a real way. If that's you today, I want you to pray with me. Father, I pray for every person, everyone today that's been through a situation where they've lost that inner fire. I pray for people that you'd reveal yourself to them, but I pray for those who've lost their passion, their zeal, their desire for God. Holy Spirit, come. If that's you, I don't want you to think about it. I just want you to put your hand up there and you say, "I need fresh fire. I need fresh fire. I need the fire of God in my life." Whether it's your first time praying or you prayed 1,000 times, right now you know if you need God in that way. Hands are going up. Put them up and believe God with me. Father, I ask you to take every person whose hand is raised, everyone whose heart is open, and reveal that fire of God, that stirring on the inside in the name of Jesus. I break the assignments of that snake. That snake bite, that poison, that venom, that bitterness, that resentment, that unforgiveness, I command it to go. We apply the tourniquet right now and squeeze out that stuff out of your body, out of your being, out of your spirit. And Lord, we release your power. We release your healing power right now, your delivering power over every person whose hand is raised in Jesus' name. Even at home right now, pray with me. Those with your hands raised, everyone around, just say this with me. Just say, "Jesus, I ask you now to come fill my life with your fire. I want to know you. Come into my life in a brand new way. In Jesus' name." If you meant that prayer, if you meant business with God, He's going to meet you right at that place. He's never going to force His way. He's only going to come when you open the door. He's knocking. Are you hearing Him? Respond today. Amen. Amen. Give Him praise today if you receive that word.
Thanks for joining us at Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, event registration, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag #NowChurch. Thank you,